Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do count it a privilege to be here from week to week, and we want you to know this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I'd like to take just a moment and invite you to come out to our services. If you are in the area visiting, or maybe you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come by Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school for all ages. Then at 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And we are currently studying through the book of Mark and just really enjoying it. That's the first time I've ever tried to preach through one of the Gospels, and I picked a short one, but it's not a short study. And we have enjoyed that very, very much. But we'd love for you to come out and visit with us. We are located just off of Highway 105 South, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And that is just above the Willow Valley Golf Course. Some of you may know where that is. We're just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits. Well, once again, we count it a privilege to be here. And I want to say hello to Noah. And he's helping us out today. We appreciate all he does. Are you having a good day, Noah?
I am. And it is good to be here. We do want to say welcome to all the listeners we have right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. And we also want to say welcome to the listeners who are listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I am thankful for Noah and his help, and he does a great deal to help me on the radio broadcast that we have. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week, we started a new series on the subject of personal finances, looking at the Bible and what the Bible says about money and about riches and about poverty. There's several things that we are going to be looking at, but and we're going to look at this on a personal note. Now, the founding fathers hated debt, and they did not want our nation to run in perpetual debt. Well, we are so far in debt today as a nation, I don't know that there is a possible way to even get out of it. And we've gone far, far away from the way our nation was originally established. After the American Revolutionary War, the first thing they wanted to do was get that debt paid off. They thought it was immoral to pass that debt on to their posterity or to their grandchildren. And they believed they had a moral responsibility to pay that debt off as a nation and not pass it along to their children and to their grandchildren. And so when we think about nationally, when we think about the debt, we could say a whole lot about that. But we're going to look at personal, because the same principle applies whether you're looking at a nation, whether you're looking at a business, whether you're looking at a corporation, a government, a state government, or whether you're just talking about yourself personally, the same principle applies. Now, we read out of the Bible last week, Proverbs chapter 22, beginning in verse number 6. And I will say, to begin with, this study is probably going to last 5 or 6 weeks, somewhere around in there. So maybe about the time school starts back. So if you have young people, you'd like for them to hear this, get them over at the radio. They need to learn. They really need to learn. The earlier you learn about money and finances, the better off that you are going to be. And so we'll deal with this for several weeks now, probably up through the month of July. And we started talking about what the Bible says about training up a child. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I found a article in the Winston-Salem Journal a couple of Sundays ago, And the lady, I like to read her article, and I do not have it before me. I believe her name is Michelle Singletary. But anyway, she writes a financial piece, and it's always in the Sunday Winston-Salem Journal. It's a very good article. And the couple of Sundays ago, she was talking about that studies have shown that most people learn about finances from their parents. That is the major contributing factor in their life. So I agree with that. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you know, that goes for good things, but that goes for bad habits as well. If we learn bad financial habits from our parents, then we are going to carry them on into our adult life. Now, the very next verse says this, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So the first thing we talked about last week, we talked about debt. We talked about how dangerous that it is, and we gave several examples of that, how that running into debt is actually a gamble, and you're taking a chance whether or not you'll be able to pay that back. And so we've already covered that a little bit. We want to begin today. We want to start talking about stewardship of money. The Bible uses the word steward all throughout. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It means to be a house manager. It's talking about management. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse number 22, it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Nobody would go down here to the university and just sign up willy-nilly for classes. You know, I'm taking a class on this, and then next semester I'll take a few on history, and then I'll take some science, and then I'll take some art, and then I'll take some medical classes, then I'll take some law classes, and then I'll take an astronomy, and then I'll take a physical education. Nobody would go to the university, take a bunch of classes, and then in 4 years see what kind of degree they could get out of all the classes that they had chosen. There was no form, there was no plan, there was no structure to it. You'd just spend and waste a lot of money for nothing. And so nobody would do that. Now, I know sometimes we joke about young people going to school and right on and on and on, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about if you went to school, you would have to go with a plan. You would meet with a counselor. They'd say, what do you want to do? What do you want to get out of this? What do you want to be? What kind of a degree are you working toward? And you would take the classes to work towards that degree. Counselors are there for a reason. Nobody builds a house by just digging a big hole in the ground, pouring some concrete, ordering a bunch of two-by-fours, and just making it up as they go along. You couldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. A person that did that would be foolish to go about building a house that way. You've got to have a plan. You've got to sit down first and think it out. There's a lot of thought that goes into building a house. You've got to have plans on how you're going to grade the property, how you're going to bulldoze around, which way the water runs. You got to have a blueprint for the house. You've got to have a materials sheet. What are you going to buy at what stage? There's a lot of planning goes on into it. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, the Bible said over there, Jesus said, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? It would be foolish to sit down or to start something and you don't have the money to finish it. You got to think, you got to have all these things lined up before you even get started on a house plan. Armies have plans. Businesses have yearly plans that they look at and they try to operate by. Hospitals operate according to a plan as well, and on we could go. But many people, when it comes to their personal money, they have no plans whatsoever. I gave the example of growing up, and I grew up on my own personal financial plan, and I grew up on the quarter in, quarter out plan. Now, what that is, if you go to church when I was a little boy, And so I remember growing up, and I go to church, and some of the older men in the church, and my great-grandpa and my grandpa Cornette, I remember them as a little boy. They'd say, come here. They put a quarter in your hand. Well, I grew up on the quarter in, quarter out. If somebody put a quarter in my hand, then as soon as I got to the store where they had the bubblegum machines and a plastic ring and a sticker and a plastic spider and all that kind of stuff, I thought that's what you did with quarters. You just put those quarters in those machines, turned it, you got the little plastic ball out, and there you had your 25-cent treasure. And so that's what I thought money was for. And a lot of young people are like that as soon as they get it. I'm talking about children, you know, go to the store, go to the toy section, spend that money. But if that kind of financial management follows you into adulthood and that becomes the established pattern for how you spend money, then what that turns into is a paycheck in, paycheck out mentality. I've received this much money, and then I know I'm going to get paid in a week or in 2 weeks or in a month, and so I spend that much money. That is a terrible, terrible way to live. But there is a huge percentage of people in America that is exactly how they live. They are living paycheck to paycheck. And if you are living paycheck to paycheck, you are not managing, or you have in the past mismanaged your money, and living that way is actually living broke. If you were to get laid off, if you were to get fired, if your company was to sell out and you all of a sudden found yourself without a job, you would be totally broke. And if you got sick and couldn't go to work, there's a lot of scenarios we could give there. If you were somebody in your family were sick and you had to take care of them, had no choice, what would you do? Living paycheck to paycheck is the same thing as living broke. It's just a matter of time before it catches up with you. I want to ask you another question today as we think about the subject of finances. A lot of Christian people think about, well, I love the Lord. I tithe to my church. I want to please the Lord. I want to do right. Does that mean that things will just work out for you financially speaking? I mean, after all, nobody doubts your sincerity that you have faith in the Lord. I have faith in the Lord. God has a big barrel. I preached that a few Sundays ago at the church, talking about Elijah, and he went down, and God told Elijah that the widow woman was going to sustain him, and she was broke herself, but there was a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil, and every time they went to that, she reached in, and she got another. You know, it was a miracle that God was able to supply for her. So we have a big God. Our God has a big barrel. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 in the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But here's what I'm getting at. Faith, having faith, loving the Lord, having a good heart about you, that does not excuse us from financial or physical responsibility. That does not insulate us from having financial disasters in our personal life. Just because you are a child of God, just because you're a Christian, just because you go to church, it doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles, you're not going to have problems in your life. It does not excuse you from that. And so we read the verse to begin with, Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes today, and I want to look at some of God's counselors. What do we find in the Bible by way of example, by way of counsel, as far as personal finances? Well, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter number 6, first of all, and we're going to read in the Bible about some of God's creatures that we can learn some lessons from. And it's the ants of Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. It's talking about a little ant, not your aunt that's your mom's sister, but an A-N-T ant. And it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. He's calling him a lazy person, a slothful person. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. I remember in school when I was growing up, we had one time an ant farm. And it was sort of in an aquarium, and it had glass on it and sand in it. And you could watch the ants and how they tunneled and how they brought the food down in there. And so the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he's saying, go to the ants, look at them, get a good lesson from them, learn something from them. What can you learn from a little ant? Verse number 7 says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, nobody is there whipping the ant across the back saying, get up, you lazy thing, out of the bed and get out here and get to work. Nobody does that. The ant just has a God-given instinct that they need to work and they need to provide. And they are, what they are doing is planning ahead. They know that winter time is coming. It said in verse number 8, the ant provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. I love Aesop's fables, and many of you are probably familiar with the ant and the grasshoppers. And the ants, they worked all summer long, and they gathered and they gathered, and the grasshoppers were out there, and they were playing and, rubbing their legs together. In the book, it's like they're playing a violin, but, they just having a big old time all summer long. Well, winter comes along, and the ants are all toasty and warm around their fire down in their little tunnels, and the crickets come along. They're about to starve to death. Oh, ants, won't you give us some of your food? And they said, there's not enough for us and you. And the poor old crickets, they starved to death. I don't know what happens to them, but there's a lesson by going to the ants. And then it says in verse 9, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible says if you lay in the bed and you're lazy and you won't do anything, you'll come to poverty. You'll be like a traveling person. You'll be like a hobo out there. And so there's some counselors in God's Word. And the ants, they say, get to work, gather, provide, save, plan ahead for times of no income. There's counselors in the Bible. I thought about another counselor in the Bible that teaches us something about our personal finances. I think about Joseph. Joseph is one of the great examples in the Bible of a steward. And it does not say in the Bible that he is a steward, which means to be a household manager, but it says he's an overseer in a house. And so that's the same thing. He was a household manager, first of all. In Genesis chapter 39, in verse number 2, said, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph, his first occupation, was a household manager. He was an overseer. And he took care of everything that his master had. And he was so good at it that his master didn't even, he lost track of what he did have. He just knew that when he sat down in the morning, the breakfast was on the table. And when he came back at noon, there was a meal there. And everything that he had, it was being taken care of. This was Joseph's foundation as an individual. Now, if you know anything about Joseph, does the Bible teach anything about savings? Well, it was Joseph's plan, Joseph's savings plan, that saved not only the nation of Egypt, but it also saved the nation of Israel during a time of famine. And Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could tell him what it meant. And Joseph knew the God that knew what the dream meant. And the Bible said in chapter 41 and verse number 34, after Joseph had explained Pharaoh's dream, that there was going to be hard times in Egypt, Joseph told Pharaoh, "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in their cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and that the land perish not through the famine." And so Joseph had a savings plan, and it saved the whole nation. We need to have a savings plan in place against times when there is no income, against times when things are not as prosperous as they one time were. We find these principles in the Word of God. These are counselors that we might learn how to manage our finances. Then in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, there's the wise man. And the Bible has a great deal to say about the wise man. And I want to be like the wise man in my own personal life. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, it said, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." That's how I was once upon a time as a young, child, as a teenager, even as a young adult. I was on the spend it up plan. Man, if I had some money, my parents used to say, "You've got some money burning a hole in your pocket." You know, you just couldn't wait to get to the store and spend that money. Whatever money you had to be spent on something. The Bible says a foolish man spendeth it up. That's a bad way to manage your personal finances, is just to be a spender, to be a waster. We'll look at that later on. But the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter number 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." Now, that's a very interesting passage of Scripture. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. A slack hand means this: not tense, to be weak, not holding fast. This man that becomes poor, he doesn't know how to hold on tight to his money. Sometimes people get accused of being tight, and they won't let go of any money. But the Bible says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." If you're just always letting money slip through your hands, you're going to be poor. But then it says this, "But the hand of the diligent maketh rich." A diligent man, he watches over his money. He holds on to. He does not waste his money. And then it gives also in verse 5, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." And that's the same thing we read about the ants just a moment ago. There's a time older generation used to have a saying about making hay. It's a hay time in the summer. And they said, you've got to make hay while the sun's shining. You better get out there and get to work while you have the opportunity. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And a lot of those wise sayings are actually rooted in the Scripture. We find the same principles there. Well, there's some other counselors, and we'll have to hurry as we look along today at this subject. There's the wise woman in the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 31 talks about the virtuous woman. And if we were talking about being an expert house manager, we would have to give her top honors, the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verse number 10, The Bible said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." He does not have to worry about her running all the credit cards up to their max and using one to pay for another one. He doesn't have to worry about her spending all the grocery money because they had a sale down at the mall, or because she went out and bought a new HD TV or something like that. He doesn't have to worry about that. She's a virtuous woman. She's a wise woman. She is a manufacturer. In verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's an expert shopper. In verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse number 15, she's not lazy. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 16, she's got a real estate license. The Bible said she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She knows how to grow a garden. Verse 17, she's strong. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 18, she's thrifty. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 19, she's skilled. She knows how to do things. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And on we could go about the wise woman. She knows how to manage her household. But I said last week, if you had just a few minutes to teach somebody something important about money, I guess the first thing I would do, I would warn them about debt. But what I want to just leave you with today, and then we'll pick up with this next week, there's four R's of money that we're going to be looking at. The four R's of money. If I was going to teach somebody about managing their finances, being a good steward, taking care of their money. P.T. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey Circus, he wrote a book on how to get riches, and he said money is an excellent slave and a horrible master. We need to know how to manage our finances. But the four R's of money, I'll just quickly give them to you. There's the receiving of money. We're going to be looking at that. That's how you get money. There's the rule of money. That's how you give money. There's the retention of money. That's how you save money. And then there is the reuse of money. That is what you do with the money once you've got it. And really, that's all we do with money. We just recycle it. We just use it. You know, we get it. And those dollars, that change that you've got, it's been in somebody else's hands. And they used it. And you're going to use it. And you're just going to use it over and over and over again in your life. But that's the four things in the upcoming weeks that we are going to look at. The receiving of money is the first one. And you say, well, how do you receive money? You know, the first way that most of us receive money is not by a job, but somebody gives it to you. Somebody gives a quarter to a child. I think it's gone up now. They give somebody a dollar, you know. What are we going to teach that little child to do with that dollar? What are we supposed to do with the money we receive? Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We're going to jump off right here, but I do want to say how much we appreciate you listening in to the Old Paths broadcast. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. We hope you have a great day. Be sure and listen in next week at this same time, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Or you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. 963-4596.